Amen. You may be seated. I want to just go into the scripture today. How many of you guys are ready for the word of God today? Amen. We're ready for the word of God today. So, obviously, Pastor Josiah and Pastor Marie are not here, but can we honor our pastors? Can we just love on our pastors? Josiah, lead pastor. Can we do that? They are out and about. I actually texted your pastor yesterday, and I said, hey, you know, who's preaching at church? I just want to come to church. Now, as a pastor, I always, usually I'm preaching whatever church I go to. So I was going to go, just come to church. And my wife, she's meditating deeply, still in sleep. Come on right now. She's still asleep. Because we are celebrating our 25-year wedding anniversary. Yeah. Somebody say, how has that been? It's been the best 10 years of my life. Come on, somebody. So Pastor Josiah said, hey, would you like to preach? Well, my wife ain't getting up till noon. What am I going to do? So you're stuck with me preaching today. So we're going to give you a good word. Is that okay? I'm Benny Perez. I'm a Laker fan, Dodger fan, and Ram fan. Come on. That's the most important thing besides Jesus. Just waiting for people to get settled. Are you ready for the word? All right. You ready? Okay. Let's begin at verse, Romans chapter 12. We're going to begin at verse, we're just going to read verse 2. Okay. It says this. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. Somebody say, let God. Say it like you mean it. Say, let God transform you. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, let God transform you. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you really need to be transformed. Just tell them that. Why did you say that to your husband or wife? I saw you. Let God transform you into a new person by changing your circumstances. By changing your spouse? No. By changing the way you what? Come on, help me. Change the way you what? Think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Father, thank you for your word today. In Jesus' name, amen, everybody. Amen. Thank you so much, Ben. And so just grateful. I want to talk to you on the topic of it takes a team. It takes a team. Anybody play any sports here? Anybody play any sports? Okay, two people. Not a good illustration. Has anybody ever eaten food? Can I just see your hand? Okay. How many have ever been to a restaurant? Okay, here's a good one. A restaurant, right? How many of you know that there is a team that is cooking, right, the meal back there? It's not just one person. There's usually about three or four people, unless you go across the street, because I heard there's a world-famous people right over here cooking some kind of, what are they cooking across the street? Yeah, I don't know what that is. What is it? Papusas? Okay, whatever. How many know it takes a team, right? And so I want to just give you this thought today. When this new year started, I felt like the Lord spoke to us at Church LV that this is the year to transform. God spoke to this church, come on, this is the year of expansion. But you cannot expand unless you transform. Unless you change your thinking from scarcity mindset, come on somebody, to abundance mindset. Unless we change our thinking and saying, well, I'm part of a kingdom, and that kingdom is with God, come on, all things are possible. So no one sitting here watching all over the world is staying the same. You're either progressing or digressing. There is no neutral in life. So the decisions you make today are the seeds of what will happen in the future. If you want a better future, you need to start planting better seeds today. Mm-hmm. How many of you want a better marriage? You should raise your hand right now if you're married. Then you need to make better decisions today. So the question to ask is, how am I changing? Not if I'm changing. How am I changing? How am I becoming more like Jesus and less like myself? So when this year, when God spoke to me and said, this year to transform, I said, God, I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better friend. I want to be a better son. I want to be a better brother. I want to be a better version of Benny Perez. Listen, I don't want to be the same guy in December of this year than I am in February, come on, of this year. How many of you would like your finances to become a little bit better? Wave your hand at me. How many of you want your health to get a little bit better? Wave your hand at me. How many of you would want your life to be better? And the answer is we all want it to be better, but it doesn't happen by chance. It happens by making the right decisions today to see your life transformed tomorrow. And so I want to talk to you on this topic of transformation. We read that in Romans chapter 12, that God will transform us or change us into another person by changing the way we think. So what does transform mean? Transform means, it comes from the Greek word metamorpho. Say metamorpho. That means to change into something better. To change markedly the appearance or form of something. To change or improve upon something. I think the best illustration for us to understand what metamorpho is or metamorphosis is when a caterpillar turns into a what? The caterpillar attaches itself to a leaf and it builds a what? A what? No, you're wrong. I could tell some of you did not pay attention in school. Because you know what builds a cocoon? A moth. Butterflies build chrysalises. What did you learn at church today? I did not even know. Butterflies don't come out of a cocoon. They come out of a chrysalis. What does that have to do with Jesus? Nothing. I just had to relearn what I didn't listen to in biology class. So what a caterpillar does, it creates a chrysalis. And what you don't understand is in that chrysalis, a metamorphosis or a change is taking place. You know what I thought? I thought, well, the caterpillar just builds this chrysalis around itself, and magically these little antennas appear. And all of a sudden now, all of a sudden what appears is wings appear and legs sprout and all that. But that's not what actually happens. What actually happens in the chrysalis is that caterpillar actually turns into a liquid. It breaks down. But in the breaking down, it's already in the DNA of the caterpillar that when there is a breakdown, what happens is that now some chemicals begin to shift within the caterpillar, and now there's actually now these discs that are in the DNA of a caterpillar, and after it liquefies and it now gets broken down, it starts to get built back up again. And you don't even know, but watch me, the DNA of greatness is inside of you. The DNA of an overcomer, come on, is inside of you. You don't even know who you really are. And sometimes God has to break you down to build you back up again. Come on, that's a good place to give God a big old hand clap and a shout right now. So metamorphosis, it means to change into something better. It is a biblical word. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we are becoming changed more into the image of Jesus, less of Benny Perez and more of Jesus. It means to change or have a renewal of life that no longer conforms to my old way, but it's a new way that pleases God. God's kingdom is transformational. Everything about being a follower of Jesus is transformational. Look at Scripture. Over and over again in Scripture, you see God changing people. Abram goes to Abraham. You see over and over again, like God choosing a shepherd boy named David, pulls him out and transforms him from a shepherd to a warrior. He takes down Goliath. How about a guy named Gideon who's afraid? He's scared. He's hiding from the Amalekites in Judges 6. And God shows up and says, "O mighty man of valor," and speaks to his identity before his circumstances change. It's all about God transforming us. How about a guy named Simon, who God names Peter, Jesus names Peter, which is one of the 12 disciples. And I actually want to look at his life and show you the three phases of transformation that all of us will go through in our lives. Are you ready? Somebody say, I'm ready. Number one, write this down. Transformation starts with the calling of Jesus. It starts with the calling of Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 20, Jesus is getting ready to call his 12 disciples. And it says this, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were what? Fishermen, right? Then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I love the next verse because this is the way we all should be. They immediately left their nets and what? Now, this is Jesus and he's just walking and he's deciding, I'm going to pick some disciples. Now, to be honest, if I was Jesus, which I'm not, but if I was Jesus, I would probably go into the temple and look and find some men that are in the temple that are going after God and say, okay, guys, I want you to come follow me and I'm gonna make you fishers of men. But what does Jesus do? Jesus goes to the Sea of Galilee, which is a place where obviously fishermen are getting ready to go out and fish, but fishermen back in Jesus' day were not the people that were the number one choice, come on, for disciples. These were rough men. These were gruff men. They had some language problems. Does anybody have a language problem? Please don't raise your hand. I just cut you out on the freeway, and all of a sudden you're going to give me the one-way sign. Come on now. And it's not this one-way sign. Come on, it's another one-way sign. It blows my mind that Jesus would go to a place that normally none of us would go to choose disciples. I like to call it this way. Jesus is savage. You know that picture of Jesus with the lamb around his neck looking like he's weak? Jesus was tatted up. Come on, somebody, help me preach this thing. Jesus was savage, man. He was savage. You have to be a savage Jesus to go to a place to pick men that none of us would pick. But it tells me something about Jesus. Jesus sees not like we see. Jesus knows what we don't know. And I'm grateful that God chose me. Are you grateful that God chose you? Are you grateful? What are you talking about? Let me say it to you this way. I want to prophesy that this will be the year that the people say they can never get saved. I want to prophesy from the boardroom to the gangs to everybody in between. This will be the year when Jesus begins to pick people that nobody would pick. Come on, give God a 5-second praise break. Jesus goes and picks fishermen because transformation starts with the calling of Jesus. And he gives them simple instructions. I want you to follow me and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, Jesus, you lead, I follow. I don't know why people have difficulty with understanding this. Whoever, when you were a kid, because I'm a lot older than you, did anybody ever play follow the leader? Come on, as a kid. Okay, this before video games. Like my brother was Mario jumping off the roof. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. How many ever played follow the leader? Wave your hand at me. Come on, wave your hand. Okay. So I played follow the leader, right? I had a bike. My brother had a bike. I said, follow me. And so we're jumping curbs, okay? Follow me. We did that. Follow me. And then one time, we went up on the roof. True story. Pico Rivera, California. Anybody from Pico? Pico people? Yeah, yeah. I'll stay away from you. Okay, why? Just kidding. My parents still live there. Hallelujah. I'll go visit them. Listen. And I remember I said, come on, follow me. And he goes, what? He's 5 years younger than me. He's 5 years old, I'm 10. Let's jump off the roof. What's mom gonna say? She's not here. So all of a sudden, I go, come on. And I jump. That's not bad for 59, huh? I think I just pulled something in my right hip. Pastor Louis, don't lay hands on my hip, but pray for me right now. Something just happened. And I jumped, wham! My brother, here I come, wham! In other words, I lead, he follows. I don't know how complicated it is. One time we were playing follow the leader. This is so crazy. I get in the back of the bed of my dad's truck. I jump off of the back of the bed of my dad's truck. We just jumped off the roof. No big deal. My brother says, okay, Benny. He jumps off the bed of the truck and breaks his leg.
No lie. He's screaming in pain. I said, why did you jump? Because you're the leader. I didn't tell you to jump. He's screaming, what happened? Mom, I don't know. He just decided to jump. It's crazy because we understand follow the leader, but we don't understand what Jesus, here's what we do with Jesus. I'm going to follow you until. I'm going to follow you, but until you start messing with my marriage or you start messing with you know, my relationships, because I you know, Jesus, I'm a man. I need to get mine when I got, I can't wait. Jesus, I'm burning, Jesus. I mean, look at me, Jesus. And I hear guys all the time, why they cannot do it God's way. Okay, no, we're getting real quiet. Okay. Jesus tries to lead you, and you don't want to follow because you think you're smarter than the leader. And what you don't understand is that God only wants the best for you. God wants to bless you. God wants to do good for you. God wants you to trust him. Can I hear an amen right now? My brother never trusted to play follow the leader with me ever again. Because his leg got broken. Some of you need to tell that to the devil. Devil, I'm not going to play follow the leader with you anymore. Last time I did it your way, my life got broken. My marriage got broken. My finances got broken. I don't want to follow somebody who's going to break me, but somebody who's going to build me. Can I hear an amen right now? Number two, transformation continues with the name change. Somebody say name change. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19, Jesus now has picked his disciples, Peter, Simon being one of them, and he brings them to this place called Caesarea Philippi. And in Matthew chapter 16, he says this, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am, the Son of Man is? So they began to think. They said, some, John the Baptist, some Elijah, others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. So this is what everybody's saying about Jesus, what culture is saying. But then Jesus turns around and he says, but who do you say that I am? He turns to his disciples and he wants to know, well, what do you think about me? Who do you think that I really am? And I love what one disciple said, his name was Simon, answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says something. He said to him, blessed are you, Simon, Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So let me paint the scene for you. Jesus is going to be crucified in probably about 6 months. He now takes his disciples, right? Jesus is the original OG. Come on, he's the original gang member. He's got 12. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I want to see who you are. Come on. I laughed because I got jumped by a gang when I was little. They stole my bike, but it wasn't really mine. They stole my sister's pink bike. I don't know what Vato Locos, I don't know what Cholos wanted with the pink bike, but hey, I don't know, right? I don't even know. And so for their sister, somebody said, yeah, probably. Yeah, that's true. I'm still trying to find the bike. Okay, watch. And so Jesus, what does he do? He brings his 12 disciples to a place called Caesarea Philippi. I know that means nothing to us, but in Jesus' day, it was everything. Jesus takes them to a place that they would never intentionally go to. In fact, when Jesus said, let's go to Caesarea Philippi, these are Jewish men. They go, wait a second, why are we going there? That is a Gentile region. That is a region where demonic power is. That is where Satan has his seat. Because Caesarea Philippi, in that region, there was a bottomless cave. And there is a cave, a place where the ancient world said, this is the gateway to hell. That's why Jesus says, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell. He takes them to the most demonic place, and Jesus stands there like a savage. If I was bigger, it would have more impact. But when you got 7-inch guns, it's doing nothing for anybody. And he stands there as a savage. You know what he says? He says, listen, I want you to know something. I am here. And then Peter says, I know who you are. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, and upon this rock I will build my church, and these gates will not prevail against my church. Now watch. Here's something that happens because transformation continues with a name change. He says, no, you're Simon. Simon means reed. It blows with the wind. Has no conviction. Doesn't stand up for anything. Culture says this, so I'm just going to go with culture. And I don't have any, you know, standards. And he's just a reed. And Jesus tells him, because you understand who I am, I'm going to tell you who you are. And he says, now that you are now Petros in the Greek, you are now a rock. How many know a rock does not shift with the wind? If you had a choice between being hit with a reed or a rock, which one would you take? You would take a reed. But if you needed to defend yourself, would you say, stand back, Ross, I'm going to hit you with a reed? None of you would do that. You pick up the biggest rock. Orale, get away from me. Vato, I'm good. Say, who am I relating to? Nobody. Okay. And it's so crazy. Now, let me ask you a question. He's Simon, which means reed, but he says, you are now a rock. Now, this is crazy. Did Jesus know that in a very short time, he was going to be betrayed? Jesus was. He was going to be tried falsely, and he was going to be crucified, and he was going to give his life up. Did Jesus already know that? And the answer is what? Yes. Did Jesus know that when he was saying, reed, now I'm calling you rock, at that moment, did Jesus know that Peter would deny him three times shortly into the future? And the answer is? Okay, now watch. I'm gonna set some of you free. Jesus called him a rock, even though he was going to act like a reed in the future. I'm going to help somebody here. Jesus knew. This is going to bother religious people. Lock in right now, because if you're bored, you're a boring person, because I'm not a boring preacher. Don't want to offend you, but I'm telling you the truth. You're bored at home. You're bored everywhere you are. You're bored at your job. It's time to lock in right now and pay attention to this guy right now, because I got a word for you. He said you're a rock. And Peter, the reason why you're going to have to remember who you are is because when you fail, you need to remind yourself of who I say you are and not what your behavior tells you to believe about yourself. Try this section over here. You're too quiet over there. I'm coming off because I want to talk to somebody. Because real people at times are going to make a mistake. Can I hear an amen right now? And let me tell you what has happened to me. Let me not be a young man, because you're actually locked in, engaged with me right now. Handsome guy right here with a jean jacket. I like your style. It's really cool. I'm glad she dressed you, whoever dressed you this morning. It was all cool. You know what happened to me? When I blew it, the devil goes, you're not really a follower of Jesus. Who do you? And what the devil did is want me to get my identity based on what I did and my failure. Because if he locked me into my failure, he locked me out of my future. I'm dropping bombs, but you're not catching. I'm gonna go into coaching mode right now. Some of us get so locked into our failure, we get locked out of our future. But I don't know about you, but I am grateful for a God that calls me a rock, even though I'm gonna act like a reed sometimes. And the reason why he calls me a rock, because I gotta remind myself, you know what? No, that's not who I am. I may have blown it, but the righteous may fall seven times, but the Lord will pick them back up again. Is anybody hear what I'm saying? Give God a 5-second praise break right now. I wanna know right now, Is there anybody here that, like Peter, you have blown it one or two times in your life? Can I see your hand right now? Everybody should raise their hand. I said one or two times. They're like, well, dude, half a time. No. Has anybody ever said, man, I'm serving God, and then you do something stupid? Come on, I see your hand right now. Keep your hand up. And was there temptation like it was for me to say, I'm done. I'm just going to go back. It's never going to work. No, because the devil wants you to believe in your failure. But God wants you to believe that he's a father and that your failure will not lock you out of your future. I call you rock. I know you're going to deny me, but I'm going to tell you your real name. I can tell you right now, I backslid from 18 to 21, but I'm telling you, I remembered that God called me. I remembered that he touched me. I remember that he anointed me. I remember, and no failure was going to lock me out of my future. Why? I've got to remember what he says about me. Oh, I feel something. Has anybody heard the story about the prodigal son? Can I see your hand? You know what the prodigal son is? You know that story? He comes to his dad. He said, Dad, give me my inheritance. You know what that means? In Hebrew culture, he said this to his dad. I wish you were dead. Because that's the only way you can get your inheritance. The dad says, there you go. You know what the Bible said? The Bible says that that younger brother, the prodigal son, he jumped on Spirit Airlines and he went to Las Vegas. He was partying all the way, paying for even the water that you had to pay for. He gets to Vegas. He's a whale. He's got money. They put him up in the Aria penthouse. He's partying. He's at Tao on Thursdays. Come on. What's your favorite club? Can I hear it? That's all right. Shout it out. I don't care. So here's the crazy thing, right? As long as he had money, influence, the roles, the roly, he was cool. But the Bible said when he ran out of money, you know what the world does? They'll use you and abuse you. And when you have nothing to give, they'll get rid of you. But that's when my God kicks in. He said, I know. I know you blew it. I know it wasn't, what? I feel something right now. Because keep clapping. I feel something breaking. I feel something shifting. I feel expansion. I feel transformation. I feel like something's about to break. Something's about to break. So watch this. So the young guy, prodigal son, he starts to write a text message. Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me a slave. And I just want to come home. Right? So you know the story. The story is that now he sends a text message to his dad. Dad sees the text message. And the Bible says that he's looking for a son. It's in the Bible. And he sees a son from afar off. And he does something that a Hebrew father would never do, that a Jewish father would never do. He pulls up his outer garment and he begins to run towards his son. And the son says, did you read my text, Dad? If you didn't, let me tell you what it said. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And it's so crazy. It's like the father didn't even hear what his son had said. The reason why he ran. I'm going to use you in the front row. I want you to jump up here. Come on. Can you just jump up here right now? Just jump up. Come on. Come on. Just jump up. Just hurry. Hurry. Come on. Come on. I don't know who you are, and I would not really want to get you mad. Because there's a size difference. And I wouldn't want to hurt you. So what happens is pretend he's the son, right, coming back. And I'm the dad, because I'm old enough to be your dad, right? I'm old enough to be your dad. You just said no, but it's okay. I'm old enough to be your dad. And so the guy, what's your name? Rudy. Rudy now is coming back, right? Rudy's coming back. And Rudy feels bad because he wasted all of my money. In fact, Rudy feels really bad because now anybody grow up in the hood? Anybody grow up in the hood? I'm talking about a neighborhood. Everybody should raise your hand. Neighborhood, right? And the neighborhood would hate the son because he brought shame on the family. And so when they saw the son coming back home, this is what they would do.
They would get all kinds of refuse. They would get all kinds of trash. They would get all kinds of old vegetables. And when the sun came down, it was the walk of shame. And they'd be throwing trash on him and say, you brought shame on your family. How dare you come back home? Why would you do that? And the reason why the dad ran, because he was going to walk with his son and protect him from the trash, protect him, come on somebody, from the shame. He was going to walk with him, and he's going to say, you call him trash, you call him a slave, I still call him my son. Give Rudy a big hand clap right now. This is what I'm trying to tell you, is that it begins with a name change. When you come to Jesus, you are not a slave. You're a son or daughter of God. Okay, I got to go preach at Irvine. I'm going to be late. I got to preach in me today. We should do a Sunday night miracle service or some crazy thing. What about your wife? She'll still be sleeping. Last thing is, can you see that? Can you see what I'm talking about? Can you see what God is trying to say to you? 18 and 21, I backslid. Clubbed. Some of the clubs aren't even open that I clubbed at. And on a beach in Southern California, San Onofre State Beach, Jesus showed up at 21. And here's what he told me. It's time to come home. God, but what about those house parties? They were crazy. It's time to come home. What about the lines of cocaine in the car? It's time to come home. Somebody like, I didn't know you were that bad. Nah, you just don't know how good he is. Last thing. How many have ever read in the Bible that Peter denied Jesus 3 times? I guess you heard that story? Yeah. Come on, you heard that story? Just at least give me a head nod. Yes. Bible says that he locks eyes with Jesus and he's ashamed and he goes away. Fast forward to Acts chapter 2. Jesus said, I want you to go up and to the prayer room. I want you to pray. Peter is actually in that room. I wonder what the other disciples were saying. Yeah, bro, you denied Jesus 3 times. You know what's so funny? People will remember your failures when God has forgotten them. It's so crazy how people are. I know what you used to do. Yeah, bro. How about what I'm doing right now? What about what I'm doing right now? I know you cheated on your spouse. Oh, yeah. But I also met a Christ who has forgiven me, restored me, changed me, and now I am becoming everything. Come on. Listen. It says this. So the day of Pentecost came, and a mighty rushing wind came. They began speaking other tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. And the Bible says that many of them, look at verse 12, were perplexed, saying, whatever could this mean? The next verse, though, is that some of them were mocking, saying, man, these guys are drunk with new wine. But I love what happens, and the Bible says that there was a man, and his name was, somebody say, Peter. Peter. It said, but Peter. Somebody say, but Peter. Now stop. Wasn't Peter the one that denied Jesus? The answer is? Yes. Jesus called him, you're a reed, but now I call you a rock, but he still denied Jesus. The answer is? Yes. Okay, now here's something crazy. You ready? When you see Peter denying Jesus, he's by himself. He's all alone. He doesn't have community. He's not in a connect group. He's not involved in serving at the church. Here's something crazy, because we read it real quick. We miss it because Peter stood up and he's preaching. That's not what it says. It said Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said, and he begins to preach. 3 times Peter denied Jesus. But Jesus said, I know you're a rock. That's who you are. And by the way, you don't even know it, but I'm setting you up not to stay in your setback, but I'm setting you up for a comeback.
and your comeback's going to be greater than your setback, and you're going to do something that everybody would like to do. And guess who stands up and preaches on the day of Pentecost? It is Peter himself, the one that acted like a reed, but God said, you're a rock. But watch this. He didn't do it alone. I need 11 men that are going to run up here. I need 11 men. Where are my 11 men? I need you to run up here. I need you to run. 11 men. I need you. I don't want you to walk. I need you to run. 11 men, come on the stage with me. Come on the stage with me. Come on the stage with me right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on the stage with me. I want you to be in front of the table. Be in front of the table, shoulder to shoulder. Shoulder to shoulder, all the way across. 11 men. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Everybody take a step to your left. One step to your left. There we go. I like those. I have the same ones. Keep coming. Sorry, I get distracted by fashion. It's cool. I don't have any, but I get distracted by it. Transformation. Third point, put it up there for everybody. Write it down. Transformation moves forward with a team. Watch me. Peter denied Jesus because nobody was backing him up. Now he gets up on the day of Pentecost, and this is what I really believe. I believe some of the people he denied Jesus to were standing in the front row. And he said, we can help you. And I could see Peter. Peter's like, well, maybe. But all of a sudden, he goes, maybe I'm just going to. The 11 were saying, Peter, you acted like a reed by yourself. But with us, you're going to be the rock that God has called you to be. You're going to be the man of God. Come on, the woman of God. Come on, somebody that God called you to be. Let me tell you, the times I wanted to go back, all of a sudden my friend Ian Skonkin said, no, Benny, I'm not letting you go back. Okay, I'm going to go back. All of a sudden my friend Mike Robertson, these are real names, said, you're not going to go back. All of a sudden, I wanted to back up, and my friend Randy Powell, who's my therapist at Journeys Counseling, said, you're not going back. Pastor Josiah, I feel discouraged. I feel like I don't know if I could do that. And Pastor Josiah says, Pastor Benny, you're not going to go back. I feel this so strong because some of us, you are a rock, and the reason why you act like a reed is because it takes a team. You cannot do it by yourself. Help the preacher preach right now. You can't do it by yourself. Look, I know I got to get to 410. I'm probably going to get right to the cars, right to the platform. Tell Pastor Brian to extend worship. I don't know. I feel this so strong. I really do. For some of you, you've been acting like a reed, and you know who you are. And this is the moment that God's saying, nope, you're a rock, and I'm going to connect you to a team. If you have not done Starting Point, get to Starting Point. If you are not in a connect group, get in a connect group. If you have not done Growth Track, go through Growth Track and get a part of serving at the church, because you're going to get on a team. I want to pray for you. You're struggling. You're acting like and what are people going to think? I don't care what people are going to think, bro. In fact, I could see, so I've been preaching, and I could see you. I could see you, and I may be so bold as go grab you. Well, if you do that, we're going to go down. It's okay, bro. I know Mexican judo. You don't know if I got a gun. You don't know if I got a wife. You don't know if I got a chain. You don't know. If you're a white person, don't say that joke. We'll jump you after church. My wife's white, don't get all racist on me. I just feel this, and you say, you know what, Bane, that's me. It could be one. This is a bold statement. I don't even know. I didn't do this. He'll tell you, I didn't do this first one. I didn't do this. But I feel like this is the moment for somebody needs to stand up and say, I know I'm tired of acting like a reed. I know I'm a rock. Thank you. Somebody else. I'm going to wait. Stay standing. Stay standing. Don't just sit back down. This is your moment right now. Keep clapping. God's speaking to you right now. Keep clapping. Don't sit there. God's pulling on you. This is your moment. This is your time. Come on, keep clapping strong right now. Come on, God's speaking to you. While you're standing there, sitting there, you say, no, I want to make a declaration today. I am not a reed. I am a rock.
Thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor, to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out, because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.